Does the government work for us or do we work for the government? The Constitution lets the president set the nation's foreign policy. Does he know what he's doing? Tonight, President Obama and the rule of law. The more we learn about the killing of Osama bin Laden, the more questions naturally arise. Initially, John Brennan, the president's counterterrorism czar, told the nation on Monday morning that bin Laden was armed and fired at our SEALs who had invaded his house. Mr. Brennan also told us that bin Laden used his wife as a human shield and pushed her between himself and the SEALs after they had entered their dwelling. It was clear that the administration, with an eye on the Constitution and on federal law, was actually attempting to make the case that bin Laden initiated the violence that resulted in his own death. Obviously, whether lawfully present or not, the SEALs would have been right to have returned fire if it had been initiated against them. Last night, we learned that Mr. Brennan's version of the events at the scene was being abandoned by the White House. Last night, we learned that bin Laden was not armed, did not shoot at the SEALs, did not use any person as a human shield, and did not pose any resistance. Now, you might ask, what difference does any of this make? He was a monster who admitted killing 3,000 innocent Americans, and he got what he deserved. If that is your view, then you should reevaluate your respect for the rule of law, for transparency in government, and whether you want the president to have the powers of a king. Under the law, the entry of our troops into the sovereign territory of another nation without a declaration of war against that nation or permission from that nation is illegal. Under the law, sending troops to arrest and capture a person wanted for mass murder and directing those troops to bring the person here is lawful, and American courts have sanctioned that. But under the law, sending troops to kill someone is unlawful. It violates at least 4 treaties, 3 federal statutes, an executive order that the president himself signed. It violates basic American values, the rule of law, and the Constitution. The rule of law requires all Americans to follow the law, no matter who they are or what the circumstances may be. The law allows the president to capture and to charge someone, but it simply does not permit him to kill someone he should arrest. If that were not the law, then nothing but popular opinion could stop the president from killing whoever he wanted. The framers themselves specifically feared this, as they knew the propensities of European kings to kill whomever they wished and to claim it was done for safety's sake. Thus, the framers wrote into the Constitution, and their successors in Congress wrote into federal law, prohibitions of the very behavior that the president authorized and directed on Sunday night. Now, the president himself surely knows this. He taught constitutional law at one of the best law schools in the country. But he violated the law in order to get bin Laden. If the president thinks he can kill on his own volition, what else can we expect of him? Well, earlier today, he announced that he will not release photos of bin Laden taken after his death. The president derives his powers from us. We can't keep evidence from him. How can he keep what we need to know and have a right to see from us? We know that he has engaged us in a war in Libya without the consent of Congress, as required by the Constitution. And just like with the killing of bin Laden, his team has given us conflicting explanations for doing that. First, he told us that our troops in Libya were engaged in a humanitarian mission, that somehow by destroying the Libyan Air Force, which obviously means killing members of the Libyan Air Force, the U.S. could save lives. Then, without the consent of Congress, he ordered bombing the Libyan government, he said, to help the rebels oust the Libyan dictator Gaddafi. He said that NATO will be in charge of the pursuit of Gaddafi. Then he realized that the U.S. effectively owns NATO, and he'd be responsible for what NATO did. Then he permitted NATO to kill 3 pre-teenage children, innocents who just happened to be the grandchildren of Colonel Gaddafi. Then Secretary of Defense Gates and Secretary of State Clinton announced that we really don't know who the rebels are, but we like them better than we do Colonel Gaddafi. Then WikiLeaks revealed that some of the rebel leadership consisted of former detainees at Gitmo, and some were well-known terrorists and mercenaries from the Middle East known as the Mujahideen. Then the president decided to send these rebels $25 million in non-lethal aid, such as medical supplies, uniforms, boots, and radios. This is the same president whose Justice Department is prosecuting a man here in New York for aiding terrorists by sending raincoats to the same Mujahideen. Do you see the pattern with President Obama? Do as I say, not as I do. Free speech for me, but not for thee. I am free to do as I wish to get reelected. The Constitution be damned. America, These are dangerous times in which we live, and only fidelity to first principles will keep us free. Those principles require, very simply, that the president comply with the Constitution and obey the laws just like the rest of us. From New York, defending freedom every night of the week. So long, America.